This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
People in England are told to work from home again as the Omicron variant spreads. Plus, less than 20% of 5 to 11-year-olds in the U.S. have gotten a COVID shot, and there are regional differences in rates. And we're exclusively reporting that Deutsche Bank may have violated a criminal settlement with the Justice Department.
In the worst-case scenario, Deutsche Bank could face indictment and prosecution.
Now the DOJ says other companies should take heed. It is Thursday, December 9th. I'm Peter Granitz at The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The Omicron variant is now spreading rapidly in several countries, prompting fresh restrictions. Last night, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson urged people in England to again work from home and mandated COVID-19 passes amid a sharp rise in infections.
It's now the proportionate and the responsible thing to move to Plan B in England so we slow the spread of the virus, buy ourselves the time to get yet more boosters into arms, and understand the answers to the key outstanding questions about Omicron.
England and Denmark have now confirmed community transmission of the new variant, which is currently found in 38 countries around the world. New federal data shows COVID vaccines for children are off to a slow start in the U.S. Just 17% of kids aged 5 to 11 have gotten at least one shot in the 5 weeks it's been available. There are wide geographical variations. Nearly half of the kids eligible in Vermont have been vaccinated. Rates are generally high in the Northeast, but they lag in southern states such as Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi. According to a poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation, a third of parents will not vaccinate their kids, just as many as those who have or will. Mark Meadows has sued Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. Meadows was former President Donald Trump's final chief of staff, and he was in office during the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He sued Pelosi and members of the committee investigating the attack to try and invalidate subpoenas for his phone records. The committee is expected to vote next week to recommend Meadows be held in criminal contempt of Congress. He backed out of a scheduled deposition yesterday. And Italy's antitrust regulator has fined Amazon $1.3 billion for harming competitors. The watchdog says Amazon favored third-party sellers that use the company's logistics services. The fine comes amid a similar investigation being carried out by the European Union. Amazon called the decision outlined by Italian authorities unjustified and disproportionate and said it would appeal. . 2020 broke a grim record. The life insurance industry paid out more than $90 billion in death benefits last year. That was up 15.4% from the year before. And that jump, that was the biggest year-on-year rise since the 1918 flu. Journal editor Leslie Sism has looked at the numbers, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's safe to assume that most of that growth can be directly linked to COVID-19. Has the industry broken down the numbers at all?
No, the industry hasn't broken them down, but the American Council of Life Insurers says that the majority of that increase can be linked to COVID-19.
What'd you hear from brokers when you were writing this story?
Some of the life insurance agents I spoke to said they had experienced this kind of increase in their client base. I spoke to a New York life insurance company agent out on Long Island, New York. He said his large book of business normally has 10 to 12 deaths a year, and he had 23 deaths of his customers last year. And he says that 10 of those were COVID-19 related. And he says it's one of the toughest years he's ever had. He knew some of these people for decades because this is a gentleman in his 60s and he's been a life insurance agent his entire life. So he's just known them year after year after year. And then to see so many of them die in a relatively short period of time was very stressful.
Yeah, it was a really stressful year for everybody. Leslie, what has the pandemic meant for the industry as a whole?
Actually, the life insurance industry is doing pretty well. We've written a couple stories this year about how life insurance sales are doing really great because this constant news about COVID fatalities has made so many young people much more aware of the need for life insurance. People know people who've died, or they've heard of people who've died, but premature deaths have become a more real thing to a lot of people. So the ACLI, which produced this data showing the 15.4% jump in payouts, says that insurers are seeing a lot more premium dollars come in even as they are paying out these proceeds to the beneficiaries of policies bought years ago.
That is Leslie Sism. She's an editor in the Wealth and Investing section. Thanks for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And coming up, the Department of Justice says it's going to crack down on companies that violate deferred prosecution agreements. What's that all mean?
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Now to a Journal exclusive, we have learned that the Justice Department has told Deutsche Bank it may have violated a criminal settlement. An internal complaint at the lender's asset management arm said it overstated its environmental, social, and governance guidance, basically overhyping its ESG investments. And sources say that may run afoul of a previous deferred prosecution agreement that the bank had with the DOJ. And now the Department of Justice says it's looking out for more companies that violate those special settlements. Finance reporter Patricia Kausman has the story. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. First, just lay out what the DOJ says Deutsche Bank did.
So basically, the DOJ told Deutsche Bank that it should have reported to prosecutors about this complaint that its asset management arm was basically overstating its efforts in integrating sustainability in investment decisions. That complaint was made by the asset manager's sustainability chief at the time. Her name was Desiree Fixler. And she sent an email to two Deutsche Bank officials as she believed she was being fired and sort of laid out reasons why she believed she was being fired. And in those reasons included that the fact that she called their ESG efforts at the asset manager overstated.
How did the Department of Justice find out about that?
So prosecutors actually became aware of the claims through a story that the Wall Street Journal that we wrote in August, which basically laid out the problems at the asset manager based on Ms. Fixler and documents. Shortly after that story came out, prosecutors and the Securities and Exchange Commission actually opened a probe into the matter, which is ongoing.
And this matter is separate from its previous criminal settlement. What was that one about?
So the point here is that the DOJ told Deutsche Bank that it may have violated its previous agreement. And it's basically when Deutsche Bank agreed to pay some $130 million to settle allegations that it violated some laws against bribery in some countries and to resolve allegations that former precious metals traders manipulated prices of gold and silver futures contracts, basically. This is what they called a deferred prosecution agreement, where companies basically avoid being indicted in exchange for staying out of trouble for a period of years and flagging potential problems as soon as the bank finds out about them.
Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco has warned companies about violating these types of agreements. Here she is talking to the Journal earlier this week.
You are going to see in the days and the weeks to come desire and a focus on making sure companies are living up to those commitments. And when they don't, there will be consequences.
Patricia, what might those consequences be?
Yeah, so if U.S. authorities actually pursue Deutsche Bank for this breach, it could lose the earlier deal, right? And in the worst case scenario, Deutsche Bank could face indictment and prosecution. But also authorities could decide against taking the bank to court and instead ask it to pay for additional fine or make other changes. For example, getting outside monitors into the bank and basically having them review everything and all the compliance efforts. A final decision hasn't been made on this, just to be clear, so it could go either way.
Are there other companies that the DOJ has its sights on?
I think it's fair to say that it does, right? So I think we should expect more to come. We know that they, earlier this year, informed two companies, the Swedish telecom equipment manufacturer called Ericsson and the British bank NatWest, that they had breached terms of their earlier deferred and prosecution agreements. And for the record, Ericsson said it would continue to cooperate with the department, and NatWest said that was talking with the authorities and that it believed it shouldn't be prosecuted. So this is already happening, and Deutsche Bank is another example of it.
We have talked a lot on this podcast about regulating ESG investments. Do you get a sense of whether there will be more of a regulatory crackdown when it comes to these green social investments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, regulators not only in the US but around the world are looking into whether firms, particularly asset managers like Deutsche Bank's asset manager, which sell investments, are basically overblowing their claims related to ESG. The case of the asset manager, which is being investigated, as I mentioned, it was sort of considered a watershed moment because it was the first time, at least that we know of, that a company is being investigated over the ESG claims. So that, you know, whatever the result of that investigation is going to be extremely important and watched by the whole industry. And I think it's pretty fair to say that we are going to see more of crackdown, and not only from regulators or authorities, but also I think investors themselves.
Patricia Kausman, she's a finance reporter. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, not counting the military, there are about 9 million Americans living overseas. I am one of them. Robin Friedman, she lives in Florida, and she writes the Jumbo Jungle column. That's about real estate. And she says that interest in living abroad appears to be growing.
This isn't a completely new trend, but it has been accelerated by the pandemic. Other Americans are interested in moving abroad to lower their cost of living. Perhaps they're retiring and they want to lower their cost of living, or they might want to receive tax benefits, which are offered by certain countries. And some high net worth individuals are seeking to get another passport in order to make international travel easier. Other people are just looking to improve the quality of their lives with a new adventure in life.
You can read Robin's column about how to move overseas, including residency by investing programs, at our website, WSJ.com. And that is What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.